Good day and welcome to the 4SC Q2 Results 2017 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Wolfgang Gastien, Corporate Communications and Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and once again, good afternoon and good morning to those in the U.S. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's key developments in the second quarter and the first half year of 2017 and our outlook for the remainder of the year. With us today is our CEO, Jason Loveridge, and in the Q&A session following the presentation, we will also have our Chief Development Officer, Frank Herman, participating. In the press release related to this conference call, which we published earlier today, we indicated that there is a presentation available for download on our website. You may find this document in the Investors and Media section under Events and Presentations in the submenu Conference Calls and Webcasts. The presentation will support the comments we make today. However, you should also be able to follow our conference call without the slides in front of you. Now, before I turn it over to Jason, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to future operations, products, services, or future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. So with this, I'd like to turn the call over to Jason. Jason, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter and six-month 2017 conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call today. Let's start by turning to slide 3 of the presentation, which summarizes what we will cover in this call. Today, we will provide you with an overview of our recent business highlights and our outlook for the remainder of 2017, as well as a brief update on our cash funds for the first half year. And as usual, at the end of the call, we'll open the line up for questions. Turning to slide 4, which highlights our recent operating achievements. Since I joined 4SC in September 2016, we've been working to rationalize our portfolio of programs and define a clear development strategy for our selected lead drug candidates, resminostat, 4SC202, and 4SC208. Our main goal over the next few years is to create significant value for our shareholders by executing an accelerated route to market for resminostat and 4SC202, and by advancing 4SC208 into the clinic. The second quarter of 2017 was a very productive quarter at 4SC as we continued to make progress at all levels in the company. Firstly, we are very pleased to announce that we concluded a successful capital increase in July, generating gross proceeds of €41 million. In this capital increase, our existing major shareholders made a significant contribution, and we attracted several new institutional investors in a subsequent placement of rump shares. We are now well positioned to execute on our defined strategy and forecast that the proceeds will provide sufficient cash to fund our operations into 2020. In addition to the funds secured in the capital increase, we successfully outlicensed our non-core program of Kv1.3 inhibitors to Maruho, a world-leading company in the dermatology arena. We believe Maruho is an excellent partner for this program and are confident in the expertise, commitment, and long-standing experience in clinical development to successfully advance the Kv1.3 project in a timely fashion. Under the agreement, 4SC will be eligible to receive upfront development and commercial milestone payments totaling up to €208 million, and single-digit royalties on commercial sales. Coming on to resminostat, our clinical development of resminostat is currently focused on cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. Our preclinical investigation suggested that the mechanism of action of resminostat would provide greatest efficacy and patient benefit when used in the maintenance setting, extending the period patients are stable and delaying progression of the disease. Patient recruitment for the RESMAIN study of resminostat as maintenance therapy in advanced CTCL, which we initiated in December 2016, continues on track. As of today, 3/4 of the study sites are open for enrollment in 10 European countries, and 30 patients are randomized in the study. Finally, we were granted a very important patent covering the composition of matter of a group of molecules, including our lead 4SC208. 4SC208 is a small molecule specifically targeting two kinases crucial for hedgehog glee signaling. Inhibition of the hedgehog glee pathway has emerged as a highly effective strategy in obstructing metastasis and the reoccurrence of tumors. The patent, which provides 4SC with U.S. market exclusivity until 2033, is a key component of our IP portfolio and successfully secures our position in the field of treatment of hedgehog-driven cancers. With respect to the development of 4SC208, we have already started the formal preclinical testing and expect it to be completed in 2018, after which our goal is to initiate a phase 1 clinical study in relevant cancer indications, particularly where resistance to therapies targeting the hedgehog pathway are emerging, such as in basal cell carcinoma, a type of skin cancer. Moving on to slide 5 and our upcoming operating milestones for 2017. You can see we have a number of important objectives planned. Firstly, regarding resminostat, our focus will be on continuing patient recruitment for the RESMAIN study in CTCL, and today we confirm our expectations to disclose meaningful data from this study in the first half of 2019, and assuming a positive outcome, file immediately thereafter with regulators for approval of resminostat in this indication. Further, we expect our partner, Yakult Honsha, to announce data from their phase 1 study of resminostat in biliary tract and pancreatic cancer, and expect to provide clarification on the further development of resminostat in advanced liver cancer. Regarding 4SC202, preparations for our two initial phase 2 studies of 4SC202 in combination with checkpoint inhibitors are well underway. 4SC202 is an orally administered small molecule which preclinically has been shown to strengthen the body's own immune response to tumors, and in combination with checkpoint inhibitors such as PD-1 or PD-L1 antibodies, results in better anti-tumor activity than treatment with checkpoint inhibitors alone. Our sensitized study will investigate 4SC202 in combination with an anti-PD-1 antibody for treating PD-1 refractory melanoma patients. While in the investigator-initiated eMERGE study, 4SC202 will be tested in combination with an anti-PD-L1 antibody for treatment with patients with microsatellite stable gastrointestinal tumors. Both studies are expected to start as planned in the second half of 2017. Moving finally to slide 6 and our financials, I would like to take a few minutes to review our financial results for the first half of 2017. 4SC's cash balance amounted to 4.6 million euros as of the 30th of June 2017, compared with 11 million euros at the end of December 2016. The decrease relates to an average monthly outflow of cash from operations of 902,000 euros as compared to an average monthly outflow of 1.2 million euros in the first half of 2016. 4SC's consolidated revenue increased to 936,000 euros, and the operating expenses were 6.6 million euros as compared with 8.6 million euros in the first half of 2016. Today, we narrow our existing financial forecast for the full year 2017 from an average monthly use of cash from operations of between 0.6 and 1.4 million euros to between 1 and 1.4 million euros. And, as I already mentioned earlier, after our successful capital increase of 41 million euros Oracy's cash balance improved considerably, and we forecast that our current cash on hand will provide sufficient funds to support operations into 2020. So to conclude, the first half year of 2017 was busy and very productive. We believe we are now well positioned and financed to continue the development of our core drug assets, resminostat, 4SC202, and 4SC208, and remain enthusiastic about the future of 4SC. We look forward to keeping you updated on the progress of these innovative cancer compounds, and with that, I would like to thank you for your interest and open the call to any questions. Operator?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. And please also ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. So, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1 if you wish to ask a question on today's conference call. We will now take our first question from Marietta Niemetz from Equinet. Please go ahead, madam. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a whole bunch of questions around resminostat in CTCL. So the previous management team, for a variety of reasons, was going to file in Europe only, whereas I understand that you have pretty concrete plans to file in the U.S. and Japan as well. So I was just wanted to ask you to give us a little bit more color around that. In particular, are you looking to file simultaneously with Europe, or would you await European approval before filing in other jurisdictions? And how confident are you that you can file on the European data package? Is one pivotal study going to be enough, in particular in the U.S., trial design sufficiently reflective of U.S. treatment paradigms for you to achieve approval on that basis? And also, what is your sense of the minimum number of U.S. patients that the FDA would require to have been treated in clinical trials? And how can you get to that number, and over what time horizon do you think? And similar for Japan, I think the Japanese authorities usually require some clinical work performed in Japan. So how do you expect to fulfill those requirements? And can you just share with us any feedback that you've had from discussions with the authorities so far, or, you know, what talks you have upcoming with the authorities? And maybe finally also on a little bit on the commercial potential outside of Europe, would you expect that to be quite similar, or should we think of it as a lot nichier, especially in the U.S., given that there's two drugs already approved in the U.S., or would you think that you're basically going to be ahead of those drugs in terms of the treatment paradigm, so you would expect the U.S. potential to be quite similar to Europe? And maybe I'll just pause there on resminostat before asking my questions on some of your other products. Thank you.
Thanks, Marietta. There's quite a few questions within that, so if I don't cover them all in my answer, then I would ask you to sort of please remind me. If we deal first off with Japan, because what we've said about Japan is that that is under discussion with our partner, Yakult Honsha, so it would be Yakult Honsha that would take any application submission to the Japanese authorities. So I think I can't comment any further on that particular point. With respect to the United States, our intention is to file at the same time in the United States as in Europe. Under the U.S. guidelines, it is clear that no U.S. patients are actually required to be recruited into the study to make a submission to U.S. authorities. So that is not our intention to expand the study at this point into the United States or centers within the United States. In the United States, you're correct, there are two other drugs with the same class of compounds currently approved in the United States, but these are for patients with progressive disease, whereas the indication that we are targeting with resminostat is the maintenance indication, which is for patients which are stable on therapy. So this would be for a different group of patients than those that are currently approved for the U.S. class of compounds. And as such, we would believe that resminostat would be used earlier in treatment or potentially earlier in treatment by clinicians.
So would you then,
Please continue.
So would you then think that basically the commercial potential in the U.S. is very similar? And can you actually think of a precedent where a U.S. drug has been approved even though there were no U.S. patients in the study? Because I think, you know, that's usually, I mean, I do agree. I mean, it's obviously not, there's no rule that says you cannot file if there are no U.S. patients in the study. But usually the data in the U.S. patients really get scrutinized a lot. So if there are no U.S. patients in the study, you know, I would assume that the authorities would struggle to approve it on that basis and would require a U.S. study, or what have they indicated to you?
So I'll answer the first question with respect to the commercial potential, and then I'd ask my colleague Frank Herman to comment on the current guidelines and the other drugs that have been approved without treatment of patients in the United States. So with respect, is somebody might go on mute. I can hear an echo. With respect to the commercial potential, yes. We feel that the potential in the U.S. is similar to the European markets. And Frank, would you like to comment on the other drugs that have been approved without U.S. patients in the study?
Yeah, sure. So, Marietta, to your questions regarding the guidance from the FDA and the requirements for approval in the U.S., so there are... in the recent decades, there have been some examples. One is bendamustine in chronic lymphatic leukemia, which was approved in the U.S. based on ex-U.S. data only. And as the number of studies increase with no participation of U.S. sites, the FDA created a guideline what requirements a study must have with respect to quality, audit number and things like that to be acceptable for FDA for review. And the ResMain study is a double-blinded study, with the highest quality a study can have. We see that the ResMain study is absolutely fulfilling all the criteria, and that's the reason why we're optimistic to file the data, or also the date when filing in the in Europe.
And have you actually had any discussions with the FDA about that? Have they actually looked at this and said, yes, we think that actually the study is well constructed, also from the point of view of treatment paradigms in the U.S., we do think in this indication one pivotal study is enough, and we agree that this study would be fileable? Or are you going to have that discussion, or will you ultimately just submit and hope for the best? How does that work?
So regarding the design, we haven't had any detailed discussion with the FDA on CTCL. We are considering to go for discussion, but I think the most hard fact for authorities to create a guideline, and if we follow the guideline, we see us in a good position to go for a filing. And with respect to your question on the if one pivotal study is enough, so I think here it's important to say the background is an orphan disease with only few numbers, or with a limited number of patients. And in such an indication, 150 patients, which we will enroll in ResMain, is a really high number, and we don't see any requirements for additional pivotal studies in an orphan disease.
And just to be clear with respect to the treatment paradigm, I mean, there are no treatments approved in the United States or in Europe in the maintenance indication. So resminostat would be the only drug approved in this indication in either territory.
Okay, great. Thank you. And can I just ask you a couple of questions on some of your other products as well, please?
Yeah, for sure.
So on 4SC202, I mean, you're obviously finalizing your plans for phase two, but can you just share with us some high-level thoughts on how we should think about the pivotal development plan, assuming your phase two program is successful? I mean, you've obviously mentioned the niche indication of Merkel cell carcinoma, that you would go into a pivotal study there. But beyond that, would you be looking to develop it in the indications that you're testing in phase two? Or do you think you could have a very broad development program, including in some of the bigger indications? And, I mean, in that context, I mean, can you just comment a little bit also on your partnering plan for 4SC202? And then finally, on 4C205 and also some of the other assets that you have in your pipeline that you're looking to out-license, I know you're not disclosing the terms in any great detail, but if you could just give us a steer on 4C205, you know, how what sort of the triggers for the main payments are to potentially help us a bit with our modeling. And then on the other non-core assets, if you can just give us a rough feel for what you, what else you're looking to out-license and, you know, what sort of terms we should be looking at, whether you think that you could get similarly favorable terms also in terms of order of magnitude as with Marujo, or would these be smaller products? That'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so if we deal with the 4SC202 questions first off, so as we've indicated in today's call, we are undertaking two phase two studies. These are quite comprehensive in terms of the two key patient populations that we want to target. So that's refractory patients and those patients that are non-responding to checkpoint inhibitors. And both studies utilize the two main groups of checkpoint inhibitors, PD-1 and PD-L1. So we expect to generate quite a broad collection of data, and in each of these studies, although we haven't spoken about that today, there is quite a lot of tissue sampling that will take place longitudinally in these studies. So the data package will be quite comprehensive in terms of the clinical data as well as the cellular data that can be generated. Two important things that we will two key data points that we will collect is the toxicity of the combination, so 4SC202 in combination with PD-1 and in combination with PD-L1, and we will also get data on the correct dose. So the two studies are designed to achieve two goals. The first is to collect the information necessary to initiate our pivotal study in Merkel cell carcinoma, that we have indicated we would begin at the first part of 2019. And secondly, we wish to undertake a broader partnering discussion once we have the data in hand from these studies. And those discussions may include how we would pursue 202 in the larger indications where 4SC is really not capable of commercializing 4SC202 on its own. Does that answer your question on 202?
Yes, very comprehensive. Thank you very much.
Okay, and with respect to the other out-licensing program, so I think the Marujo deal is really a key achievement for 4SC. I think it demonstrates our ability to commercialize those assets that we have not chosen to take forward in our core program or fund with the 41 million euros that we raised in our capital raise. So our goal is to complete a number of other out-licensing programs. At this stage, it's very difficult to forecast how we would or what terms might apply to those particular compounds, so I'm not sure that I can comment much more than that. With respect to 205, that is already licensed to Link Health for the territory of China, and we're not able to disclose what the conditions are for the milestone payments, all I can say is that we have received a number of milestone payments from Link Health to date, and our expectation is that we will continue to receive these as defined under the out-licensing agreement we have in place with them.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question on today's conference. We'll now pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. Thank you. Gentlemen, just to confirm, we have no further question from the telephone line, so at this point I'd like to turn the call back to you for any additional or closing remarks you may have. Thank you.
So thank you very much for attending the call and for your questions. I hope you enjoy the summer, and those of you who still have a summer vacation ahead, I wish you a rewarding and energizing time. Everyone have a good day, and thank you very much.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that will now conclude today's conference call. Thank you very much for your participation today. You may now disconnect.